Challenge us, God, to expand our vision of family.
Until we see all of creation as one big family. Amen.
As we now join together in a time to worship, if you are facing any bandwidth issue, you are welcome to join the YouTube link at FCC... Oh, I cannot see the...
FCC Live YouTube.
FCC Live YouTube, because of the reflection of the screen. So for those people that are on site, please feel free to just wave your hands and then hum along, even though live singing is not allowed. If you are joining us at the YouTube stream, there's no need for you to jump back to Teams anymore as we try this new platform of both Teams and YouTube. So now let us join the worship team together.
Your name, and every blessing you the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Story of love for me, I would not forget those moments of doubts. If I could rewrite your story of love for me, I would not erase those times of struggle, those moments of doubting myself and blaming you for all my brokenness. Those moments I wrestle myself and you for the answers. For a little hope, then I will remember when you became real to me, when you turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. If I could rewrite your story of love for me, I would not forget those moments of doubts. If I could rewrite your story of love for me, I would not erase those times of struggles, those moments of doubting myself and blaming you for all my brokenness. Those moments I wrestle myself and you for the answers. For little hope, then I will remember when you became real to me, when you would not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. When you touch me on my side, when my eyes were open to you, and so I saw that I was born free. When you touched me on my side, when my eyes were open to you, and so I saw that I was born free. Then I will remember when you became real to me, when you would not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. I will remember. remember when you became real to me, when you would not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. For you.
Good morning. This morning, before we enter into a time of prayer together, I wanted to share some news with you. Yesterday, we received news that Marcy, one of our regular congregants, passed away quite suddenly on Friday night. And it took us all by shock, because Marcy is a very healthy person, at least as far as we know. Our sister said that it looked like there might have been some issue with her heart, and they tried to revive her, but they couldn't. And so it was a huge shock for many of us who know her. I always remember Marcy as a tremendously lovely person. She came to attend our church actually a few years ago, and she was a great ally, and really spoke up for the transgender, especially the genderqueer community. She was very generous. Felicia was reminding me yesterday that she invited the Sunday school kids and the teachers to her home for a meal once, and they had a great time together. I met with Marcy just about a month ago, and we spent quite a while talking about what she was going through, and we prayed together. And I told Marcy, you know, I've never seen a mom, and I have many, many moms here who are the same. I've never seen a mom with such tenacious love, who had such a giving heart, who persevered through every difficult situation. And I was very inspired by her, actually. So when we first heard of the news yesterday, I was actually very sad to hear that. And so I just wanted to share this news with you, and especially for those of you who know her, I wanted to at least have this time together to remember her together, and to also remember her family in prayer. Her sister Amanda is coming over next week on Tuesday. We'll probably have a memorial service for her, and so we will let you know more details when we know. We also want to remember Celine, her child, and we also are trying our best to be of support to them as far as we can. All right. So if you can join me in a word of prayer, let's pray together as a congregation this morning. Dear God, 2020 has been a year of uncertainty, of unpredictable events, of teaching us in so many ways that there are so many things in life that we have little control over. That all we can do is to focus on the present moment with you, with all that you are calling us to be and to do. And so God, as we, your people, as a church and as a community, enter into a better normal after all of what we have experienced, all that we have seen, all that we have heard, God, will your Holy Spirit move in us, teach us, challenge us, strengthen us for the way ahead. With Marcy's sudden passing, God, we are again reminded about the unpredictability of life and how we don't know what tomorrow may bring. But we know the God that we step into tomorrow with. And for that, God, we thank you. We thank you for your tremendous presence in our lives. In our lives, not just in a personal way, but in our life as a community. Because, God, without your presence, there's nowhere we can go. But with your presence, God, we can step into uncertain days knowing that you go with us. And so, God, we want to lift up Marcy and her family, especially her family, into your hands, especially in this time of grief and loss. God, will you draw them close to you? Will you comfort them? Be with them? Grant them your love and peace, especially in this time when nothing seems to make sense. And help us as a community to band together, to know how we can support one another as well, and them in this time. I pray also for the many members in our church that may be experiencing loss and grief in their own way too, whether it's because of family, whether it's because of work and jobs, whether it's because of relationships that are broken, or whether it's because of health. God, will you draw us close to you and allow us to know of your presence in our life, your life-giving, strength-giving presence. And so, God, we commit ourselves and our hearts to you, and we pray that as we go into this new season together, a new season of trusting your heart, of holding your hand and taking steps ahead, God, will you walk with us and allow your presence to be our guide and our sustenance. And so, God, we commit ourselves, each of us, into your hands, praying all this in your many names. Amen. And before we go into a time of a sermon, we will be going into one more song. After all these years, a song that has stayed with us as a community for quite a few years, actually. It was the first time we actually sang this song was during our church retreat 2 years ago, I think. And it really spoke to us as a community, and I pray that it speaks to us, especially in these times.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant in your life. Never given up.
Good morning and welcome home. Will you join me in prayer? God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Today we're going to start on a new sermon series called A Better Normal. And we'll be using Menti again for people to participate in some of the questions and answers and maybe some reflections. Please go to menti.com and use the conference code 76875776 to join us. We'll leave this on the screen for a while, so for the folks who are present, you can key in. Last week got feedback that some people didn't hear the Menti code fast enough and struggled to log in and got missed out. One of the things I'm very grateful is I think that quite a few people are now on our YouTube live stream, and that stream is only about 10 seconds behind our live what's happening live. So we don't have to wait that long. But our YouTube live is still in beta, and we really hope that you can give us feedback to the quality. I think the quality is actually in 4K. And it's actually better than the, our Microsoft Teams platform. Though we miss out on the Q&A where we can chat with one another, I think that we will slowly move towards that, but your feedback will be very helpful for how we try to do our best and find ways to help you connect with the service as well. I hope that you will. We will start getting more engaging as we go along. So I think most of you would have been on Mentee now. So we are going to kick off the new sermon series, A Better Normal, today. But do you remember which character from the Bible that we kicked off the previous sermon series, Encountering God? And that's our first question on Mentee. So you can key in on Mentee to your answer. Which character from the Bible did we kick off our Encountering God series with? And we can see how many of you actually paid attention. And some of you might not heard the question correctly. And so people will start keying in. And you can see that the bigger the word, the more people answering that question. I will just tell you, personally, I had to go back and check my sermon records. So who did I start off with? Because it was on my mind when I was preparing this sermon, but I had to go back and check just to be sure, right? I couldn't, because there were so many sermons along the way, I had to guess between Job and Moses, right? Because it was not Nicodemus for sure. And the answer is Moses. Yes, so some of you are really paying attention, right? And the interesting thing is, coincidentally, this week's lectionary passage is also from Exodus and is also another Moses encounter with God. And we are kicking off this series from that passage, from Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send me with. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to God, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I'll do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." But God said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." What struck you in this passage? And I want to invite you to type a short reflection. What struck you? What was the thing that came to your mind or surprised you or you're curious about? While we were discussing about this sermon, Pauline said to me, what stood out for her was Moses' persistence in asking for God's presence to go with them. "We have always known that life is uncertain and unpredictable, but this year really highlighted that fact in a very real way. Moses didn't know what lay ahead. God didn't give him many details, but he will go where God was sending him and lead the people too, if only God's presence goes with them." I think a better normal for us is knowing that our life ahead will be uncertain and unpredictable. But what truly matters is having a deep intention of having God's presence go with us, whatever the future holds. And some of you have already replied, my face cannot be seen, not seeing God's face, having faith, not being to look at the face of God, that seems to be popping up. God has a body? Question mark. That's interesting. That God covered his face because if you see God, you will die. Revelations come in strange times, places, and ways. I like how he asked for help. It's moving very fast. This is actually not helpful. Because it moved, by the time I start reading and then it disappears, right? Why was God's face not to be shown? Moses had faith but wanted to proceed when he could see a clear sign. That's a good reflection. What stood out for me was that Moses, having witnessed firsthand and even performed miracles, even after God told him, "I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight," all these things were not enough. Moses asked for more reassurance again, asking, "Now that I found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight." And when God said, "My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest," Moses' reply was, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us?" While Pauline reflected on the persistence of Moses, I interpreted Moses' response in a different way. It was almost as if Moses wasn't convinced and needed more convincing and needed more proof. Aren't we sometimes like that? That we are not convinced that God knows us by name and God is with us. That we are not convinced that God loves us. And we continue to ask for proof. God's love is not proven by good things happening in our lives, and the lack of is not proven by bad things happening in our life. God's love is love, and that's it. In this world, and I think some of you will be familiar, right? In this VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world, where we don't know what's going to happen next, we often don't have proof of many things. We don't know what lies ahead of us. And for Moses, he was also living in a VUCA world. You see, they have left what they were familiar with in Egypt. He just followed what he was told to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. But they're not in the promised land yet. They're still wandering the desert. He didn't know what was going to happen next. And I think for us, reading the story, knowing how it ends, we know how it ends. We know that Moses didn't make it to the promised land. He saw it from the top of a mountain, but he didn't enter the promised land himself. We know that the people did make it at the end, but Moses did not. Moses didn't know all these things. And it would be also, to Moses, a VUCA world. We need to learn to live faithfully and perhaps to take in what Pauline has said, be persistent, and I think to also trust and have faith that God's presence has been and will always be with us. We sang, "The God who was and is to come has been the same to us." I know for a lot of us, we connect through singing. And in this this times that we are living in, we cannot sing. And singing is a way we connect with the words even more deeply. That's why sometimes we need to say things out so that it goes through the brain in a very different way than just thinking about it. When we sing, we connect with the words, the meaning of the words, deeply, almost without barrier, right? But in this new normal, we have to learn to do better without singing. And when we cannot sing, perhaps I want to invite you to actively connect with the lyrics of the song and reflect on it. right? Not just sitting there, and some of you will enjoy humming along with the song, especially a song that you love and a song that's meaning to you. But if it's a song that you don't connect with, perhaps reflecting on what the words say and the meaning would be helpful, just like Lectio Divina in some way. The lyrics of the worship song we sang, after all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. And it amazes me, after all you have done, it amazes me, you're still running after us. I think that we often pray, like Moses, for God to show us God's ways and for God to be present with us, almost as if we are doubting that fact. But I think, as I reflected, God has always been with us. The answer has always been with us. And this is quite not usual for me, right? I always say Jesus is the question, right? But here, really, Jesus is the answer. Through Jesus' teachings, he proclaimed that God's gracious love and abiding presence know no bounds. He revealed God's kingdom. Kingdom here is spelled without a G. Kingdom, you and I and all of us, family, related to one another. Revealed that God's kingdom is one where all are welcome, all are worthy, and all are invited. Ooh. It is through this kingdom that lives are transformed and empowered. And this week's gospel reading from the lectionary in Matthew chapter 22, verse 15 to 22, where the Pharisees plotted to trap Jesus, where they asked him, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not, is where I think we can see what the kingdom could be. You see, they were trapping Jesus, asking him this question, because it's a yes-no question, right? And if Jesus said yes, that it is lawful, then he would lose credibility with the people, because Jesus would be showing deference to Roman authorities, which the people hated, because they were all oppressed. But if he answered, it is not lawful, then he would get in trouble with the Roman authorities, because guess what? They brought along some Herodians when they met Jesus and asked this question, because they wanted them to witness what he said and get Jesus arrested if he answered that way. So this is the verses from Matthew 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They said, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Too often, many Christians have mistaken this verse to mean the separation of church and state. How many of you have heard this, right? I want to ask and do a survey through Mentee. How many of you heard this about that this verse, this passage is about the separation of church and state? And do you agree with that it is about separation of church and state? So you can key in your answer and we can see where people gravitate towards. So three people have already answered, "Yes, but I don't agree." And one person answered, "No, and I don't agree." "Yes, and I agree." We can see where all of you fall in the category. Great, then I can illustrate more to you what this passage really means. Of course, I realized that I have used this passage several times in my sermons because I thought that it was very meaningful. But I usually don't quote from Matthew. I quote from Mark. And Mark's account is slightly different. It's very, very slightly different. So we have a sort of a split, right? We have a split. Almost half agree and half disagree. And most people, well, a lot of people have heard that it is about separation in church and state. The NRSV translation, which I used, right? I use NRSV all the time, actually, translates a Greek word icon to the head. But the NIV here actually does a better translation, translate it to image. And the very Greek word icon, you already connect to English word, right? Icon. The word image is actually a better translation than head. I don't know why the NRSV translated as such. But what Jesus was saying here is this. The image, the icon of Caesar is on this coin. So give this to Caesar. But what did Jesus mean when Jesus says, give to God what things that are God's? So I ask you this question. What carries the image of God? Us. We are created in the image of God, imago Dei. So we are to give of ourselves to God. Our allegiance isn't to Caesar and Caesar's empire, but to God and God's kingdom. That is why when he answered that, those who went to trap him were amazed and left. Because it expounded the core of the theology in the heart of everything, you know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is, give to God what is God's. So no, those of you who answered that you agree with this passage, no, this passage isn't about separation of church and state, but telling us we need to resist the state, the empire's division, injustice, and violence, and embrace God's kingdom, a place of love, justice, and mutuality. I was reading Pope Francis' 2020 encyclical titled Fratelli Tutti, and that's Latin for all brothers, which is a pastoral letter addressed by the Pope to the whole Catholic Church. While we are not Catholic, I believe that many points that Pope Francis wrote and brought up in the encyclical are relevant to us as followers of Christ. The COVID-19 pandemic has revealed how broken our world is, and it has given us an opportunity to change things. We are forced to slow down and take a hard look at ourselves and our world and all the systems there and ask, what kind of future do we want? And in the next 5 Sundays, we are going to dive into and ask ourselves how this better normal look like. We want a better normal. What values do we base this new normal on? And I think that we are to base this on the values of the kingdom of God. These values that Jesus taught. Pope Francis wrote, "It is my desire that in this, our time, by acknowledging the dignity of each human person, we can continue to the rebirth of a universal aspiration of fraternity, fraternity between all men and women. Let us dream then, as a single human family, as fellow travelers sharing the same flesh, as children of the same earth, which is our common home, each of us bring the richness of his or her beliefs, convictions, each of us with his or her own voice, brothers and sisters all. When I was reflecting on after all these years, I thought about the song in a very different way. I actually dreamt of this song this morning and last week as well. We usually thought of this song as a personal song about God not giving up on us as individuals. And that is true. But God has also been constant in love with humanity, all of humanity. God hasn't given up on us. The song opens with the flood, right? God didn't give up on all of humanity. Humanity survived. Noah and his family. And God is still running after us to be part of this kingdom. So I want you to reflect on this song as we sing later at the close of the service again, not just as a personal song, but also about one, about all of humanity, God not giving up on all of us, even when we continue to make mistakes. Even when we continue to destroy the environment, continue to perpetuate violence and hate, and fail to love each other as Jesus has loved us. I believe that God hasn't given up on any single human being, particularly one very special one in America. And I think that God hasn't given up on any person and any group of people. And that is the kind of kingdom we envision to come. A better normal. This situation has exposed all of us to the brokenness. All of us are susceptible to the coronavirus. It makes no difference. Your gender, your gender identity, sexual orientation, your social class. It does make a difference, of course, how well you're treated and your access to healthcare. But these are the things that we need to think about. The virus makes no, does not discriminate, but our system does. And a better normal means that we need to think about how we reimagine all these systems that discriminate and that is broken. I think that one of the, and we're going to transition to communion here, because I came across a communion written, the liturgy written by Brian Brandsmayer, that's about the kingdom of God, I thought encapsulate all the values that we hold dearly, that Jesus taught in liturgy. And often, like singing, we sometimes just sing the words. The melody is very nice. And for the liturgy, we just repeat the words or listen without really taking it in. So when we do this liturgy, and we are going to integrate this liturgy into our regular cadence, right, as one of the liturgies for communion, I want you to listen to the words, meditate on them, and let it seep into the core of your being. Because we need to treat this meal not any one that we remember Jesus by, not just remembering Jesus, but also what Jesus taught, what those values are, and allow this meal to transform us as well. This encounter with God, this communion with God, change us. And Jesus' lessons weren't just taught. It wasn't just like a lecture where he taught, right? Sermons are very much like that because I am teaching from here. But this is the physical act that we have. This is an action that's lived out. And even though it is ritualized, it has still meaning that we need to absorb, reflect upon. When Jesus set a tables and broke bread with tax collectors, lawyers, rich elites, poor peasants, and even the one who betrayed him. He proclaimed that God's gracious love and abiding presence knows no bounds. Through these occasions of sharing food, women and men experienced God and shared in God's kingdom, a kingdom where all are welcome, worthy, and invited. Lives are transformed and empowered, and the fruits of God's gentle justice bloom throughout all of creation. Together,
all people, including each of us, are invited to share in this sacred meal of celebration and be strengthened by the presence of God in this place.
We remember that Jesus fed 5,000 hungry people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. At this miraculous meal, there was such an abundance of food that everyone ate until they were full, and there were even 12 baskets of food left over.
Holy God, we celebrate your abundant care and solidarity revealed in this meal.
Can we imagine not just feeding 5,000, but feeding the entire world, even the places where there are famine, there's drought, feeding the entire world where no one is hungry? Is this the kind of kingdom, the better normal that you want to see as well? We also remember that Jesus joined a great banquet with Levi, the despised tax collector. And despite the complaints of some, Jesus welcomed Levi and invited him to repent and enjoy a fresh beginning at life.
Holy God, we celebrate your transforming presence revealed in this meal.
Remember Levi? And how many Levites are here in our midst? And who are Levites out in the world? Could the very people that we wish fall sick and die, Levi as well? Can we imagine that the kingdom of God includes such as these? Even that particular one person in America. I think that the kingdom of God includes such as this. And we continue to pray that one day there will be a new chance at life for even this person. We remember that while sharing a meal with Pharisees, Jesus welcomed the woman viewed as an outsider. Were you an outsider too? Because of your sexual orientation, gender identity, your nationality, where you were born, where you're from, your social economic class, your accent, some part of you that's different, seen as an outsider, not welcome. Yet, this woman anointed Jesus' feet with oil, and Jesus declared her dignity before everyone at the meal.
Holy God, we celebrate your gracious inclusiveness revealed in this meal.
At these meals, Jesus and the women and men disciples resisted the divisions, injustice, and violence of society. They lived out an alternative reality, the kingdom of God, a place of love, justice, and mutuality. Can we, too, resist the violence and the divisions in society, to stop seeing each other as the other, as seeing people with different religions, different faiths, different ideologies as our enemies, but include them in this kingdom, this place of love and justice, and see them as equals, as one of us, as fellow travelers, fellow people who call this earth home. Today, we celebrate these meals and ministries. But we also recognize that not all people liked Jesus' ministry. In fact, for some people, it was scandalous. They said, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." And as we know, Jesus' life became endangered. When his arrest seemed near, Jesus ate a meal in an upper room with the disciples. As he had done so many times before, he took bread, and after having given thanks to you, Holy God, he broke it and said, gave it to the disciples, this time saying, "Do this to remember me." After the meal, he shed wine and said, gave thanks and said, "I will not drink from this cup again until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God." Jesus was then unjustly killed by the systems of domination in his day. To some of his frightened disciples, it seemed that the bread symbolized his broken body and the wine his blood. It also seemed like injustice and violence killed Jesus and his ministry. But resurrection provided a new hope. And there were more meals and more ministries. We thank you, Holy God, that the Last Supper wasn't the last meal or the last word. At an evening meal in Emmaus, Jesus once again ate with the disciples. His execution wasn't the end. His presence and ministry continued in a new way. Jesus once more took bread, and having given thanks to you, Holy God, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, revealing that your steadfast love is stronger than death, and your ministry with us for the sake of your kingdom continues. Here at Free Community Church, we celebrate an open table. You do not need to be a member of FCC, you don't need to be baptized, you don't need to meet any criteria to partake of the meal. You are invited because God invited you to be part of this kingdom. So the stewards will come forward to distribute the elements, and they will pass you the single-use cups, unfortunately. And please hold on to it. We'll partake of this as one body. Those of you who are joining us from home, you may not have wine. You might not even have bread. But these are just symbols. I want to invite you to find whatever that you have. And it could be just plain water and a biscuit. And join us as this transcends space and even time, that we come into communion with God. Do you pass to the children in the... Oh, no, children. Oh, okay. Sure. Despite the divisions, violence, and injustice in the world, God continually brings forth renewed hope. God hasn't given up, and God is still running after us. God continually brings forth renewed hope, that is resurrection. For love, justice, and mutuality to and through each of us. Together.
Holy God, in the sharing of this bread and wine, we joyfully celebrate the hope-inspiring ministry and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gracious God, may this meal for us be an Emmaus meal, where we encounter your presence in the sharing of this food, as the disciples did at their meal in Emmaus. May the sharing of this food also be a taste of your kingdom, Holy God, so that we may be strengthened to be your joyful and hopeful disciples. May we share in your kingdom of love, justice, and mutuality with those around us. Amen.
Holy God, bless each of us and the meal we will share, so we may be opened to your abiding presence, nourished by your gracious love, and strengthened by your resurrection power. Amen.
Come, taste the kingdom, and know God is present with us here. Let us partake of the elements together. Will you join me in the closing prayer?
Amazing God, thank you for your presence in this place. We also thank you for giving us a taste of your kingdom in this meal. Please use this food to strengthen us to be your joyful and hopeful resurrection community, sharing and experiencing your kingdom of love, justice, and mutuality. Flow through us, healing God.
Amen.
Once again, we would like to welcome you to the Sunday service of Free Community Church, where Free stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. And as I was listening to Pastor Miak's sermon and thinking about Moses' encounter with God, I was wondering, you know, what would happen if this situation occurs right now, if each of us have an encounter with God? Will we actually believe in what we see? So it reminds me of the song, as usual, you know, One of Us. And we always remember, like, oh, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. But part of the lyrics actually said, if God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to his face? If you were faced with him in all his glory, what would you ask if you had one, just one question? If God had a face, what would it look like? And would you want to see if seeing meant that you would have to believe in things like heaven, and in Jesus and the saints, and all the prophets? So I think, I mean, in this time and in this space, we really do seldom hear of encounters with God. But yet we know that in all our living interaction with one another, God is present all the time. So as we continue to spend our time through this pandemic, still facing the unknown, and with only 3 more months left in the year, let us continue to work together and to come together as a community and indeed be God's kingdom to one another. So now, this is the announcement segment of the service. I would like to say that first, I'd like to apologize for the mistake just now way in the beginning during the service where the sound is actually muted. But obviously, we didn't get any warning from the people online, which means nobody was awake to realize that there was a mistake yet. But like I mentioned, this is actually our only second service on site. So indeed, do be patient and do be kind with us as we continue to work our way through all these mistakes. So for those who are actually new to FCC and have been with us just for a few weeks and would like to keep in touch with us, please do fill up the welcome form at aka.ms/FCCwelcome, and then somebody from church will get in touch with you. Every last Sunday of the month, we actually have got a newcomers meeting where you'll be able to meet with the pastors, some of the FCC leaders, where you'll be able to find out more about what FCC represents and how you can join us as a community. Even during this time, if you are facing with difficulties, be it financial, spiritual, emotional, psychological, physiological, any kind of burdens you might be facing, and then you'll just like to have a listening ear, please also do reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org, for our pastoral support still remains open during this period of time. After each Sunday service, there's actually two rooms open after each service immediately. One is a prayer room, for people who like to request for prayers and for people who like to offer prayers. And there's also a live discussion room where we can discuss anything and everything about the service itself. Every Wednesday, we also have a prayer meeting occurring at 8 p.m. via Zoom. This has been very, very consistent because we know that prayer is a very, very important part of the Christian's disciples' life. So we would like to encourage you to join in this prayer meeting online so you can join via the link given. FCC has also started its WhatsApp broadcast list. So if you'd like to be included in the WhatsApp broadcast list, which gives you the most immediate, newest information, do WhatsApp your name to 9366-3818. And also save the FCC number into your list, into your contact list, so that you'll be informed of anything via this WhatsApp broadcast list. And please note that your details will not be given to anybody else except for the person in charge of the WhatsApp broadcast list. FCC Now is also on YouTube Live. You can catch us live every Sunday and watch it anytime thereafter. Subscribe to FCC YouTube at youtube.com/user/freecomchurch. So we need a certain number of subscriptions before this thing can continue and be more effective as we try to transition from Microsoft Teams to FCC YouTube. There's another course that is coming up, which is the Beta Course 2020. And this Beta Course is actually based on the first 7 chapters of the book, Living the Questions. The dates will be from 2nd of November to 14th of December on Mondays from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And the venue will be online via Zoom. So if you're interested to join this course, and you'd like to find what the Beta Course is about, it's actually, if you have questions about Christianity that you're afraid to ask, and you wonder whether you can take the Bible seriously without taking it literally, you're passionate or curious about Jesus, and you want to know more about who he really is. And basically, there's this online community that has this group that says that, can you be a critical thinker and be a Christian as well? And I always like to click in and see, and really it's quite interesting. So if you think that you are a critical thinker and would like to see whether the Christian faith still appeals to you, do join the Beta Course. And the course facilitator will be our pastor, Reverend Mark Siu. You may sign up through the tiny URL. And then for more information, you may contact Angela at 2005.music@gmail.com. As we continue our digital service and our on-site service, and eventually when this whole thing is over and church reopens officially, we will still be continuing with our digital service. So it will be a two-pronged approach. So as we try to migrate and then try to coordinate ourselves between live and digital, et cetera, we continue to love to hear feedback from you on ways and areas which we can improve on. So do give us your feedback at aka.ms/FCCfeedback. And last but not least, as you can see that today we have a very, very lean team in production. That's why we need volunteers for our production ministry. And our production ministry is mainly talking about handling, toggling between cameras, making sure that all the mics are working, all the sound is being produced correctly. You hear the worship online, you hear the worship on site, etc., etc. So if you are interested in joining us as volunteers for the production ministry, do send an email to info@freecomchurch.org. Basically, we'll be having a virtual info session on 24th of October, and then we can do a rehearsal tour on a Sunday itself, 25th of October, so that you can come and see what the production ministry actually do. This is actually a very, very important ministry, though you don't see the people behind the scene, because if we don't have these people, we can't have service. So we really sincerely ask for volunteers to join us in this ministry. So now we've come to the collection segment of the service. Now there are various means of giving. During the digital service, you can give via online, via PayNow. Basically, there's two QR codes here. One is for the FCC General Fund, and one is for the FCC Building Fund, which helps to pay for the mortgage of this place. So you may donate by PayNow via scanning of the above two QR codes. You may also donate by credit card at gift.asia, freecomchurch.gift.asia. Please note that donation by credit card only donates to the general fund, and part of your donation, there will be an administrative fee charged by the platform itself. There's also a segment where you can donate to gift.asia, the platform itself, but that is not mandatory. And then you may set your privacy settings by giving by a credit card. So for those people on site here, would anybody like to donate by cash? Could you just lift up your hands so that the stewards may actually bring the collection back to you? As we are thinking about giving back to church, I always wonder, you know, or at least I personally have come to an age where I start to plan for my retirement, hopefully. And as you plan for retirement, you plan about, oh, how much money you need, how much to survive, etc., etc., in this expensive society. But sometimes I wonder, as Christians, as followers of Christ, do we actually put Christ's ministry as part of planning also in our financial planning? So even as we give back a portion of what we have been given, I just continue to say a big thank you to all of you who have contributed, so that FCC itself may survive and may be a ministry to others. Let's pray and give thanks for the giving. God, indeed, we know that life is frail and uncertain. And in this time of the pandemic, some of us may be lost because of this uncertainty. Some of us may be facing job loss. Some of us may be facing financial difficulties. Some of us may be facing loss and the breakdown of relationships. But we know that in all this, you are the one constant in our life. And that whether we have or we do not have, we know that your presence in our life is the one to sustain us throughout all. God, we continue to lift up everyone who may not have enough. And may we, the ones who have enough, be willing and open to share of ourselves with one another, that your love, your kingdom, your justice, your mercy may be experienced by one and all. In Jesus' name, we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now we'll join the worship team in one last song.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The years.
God, you amaze us. You amaze us with the constancy of your love. You amaze us because you run after us. Your work of humanity even though we fail you time and time again, God, you have never, never given up on us. God, you amaze us. So today, dear God, send us out as your people, your resurrection people, a people who embody your love, your justice, your grace, your mercy, wherever you may send us, and help us as you challenge us into a better normal, that we truly, truly will step into your calling as a people of God. And so now go. Go as God's people, wholly loved and fully amazed at a God who never gives up. Amen.
Thank you one and all for joining us today. Service is now over. I'd like to ask you to join us in the prayer room or the live service discussion room after this service. And for those people on site and online, have a good Sunday and a great week ahead.